What's going on, internet, and welcome back to another episode of Why We Play. This is Brennan. I'm back with a guest that I've been trying to get on for, it feels like forever at this point, since I first started this damn show, and finally it's happening. I have Alex Elliott here with me. Alex, how are you doing today?
Hey, what's going on, Brennan?
Oh, not, like I said, it feels like it's been forever that we've been trying to hook up.
Fate was trying to separate us, and that's not going to fly today.
Nope. Finally not. How you been doing? What have you been, hitting and playing recently?
Pretty good. Been playing some Destiny on PS4 a little bit here and there. I've been playing the Paladins console beta, and a little bit of Battlefield 1 here and there.
Okay, so hold tight on Paladins, because I have lots of questions as an Overwatch player for that. So let's start where, we always start and we go back to the beginning. How did you start playing games? Like, what was your first console game? Yada, yada, yada.
Right. Well, I'm in my mid 30s and I'm the youngest of three brothers. So we had an Atari when I was real young. So I vaguely remember playing Pong and playing Joust on there. And then we pretty much got every console. PlayStation 2, but Nintendo 64 is probably the one that really, really caught me. I played so much GoldenEye, really when they brought Super Mario 64 out with that huge open world, and I was just like everyone else. I was completely and utterly blown away with it. I loved it. We had the very first Xbox. Used to play like Turok on there and stuff like that. PlayStation 2 came out, PlayStation 1, love them both. And then I stepped away for a little while, and I ventured over into PC gaming. I got really big into the Battlefield series of games. I loved Battlefield 3 a lot. Play a little bit of COD here and there, the original COD, that is, Call of Duty 1, Call of Duty 2, the first time they did World War II shooters. but I was really enamored with the Battlefield series. And then I kind of took, stepped back from PC gaming, and now I'm pretty much exclusively on the PlayStation 4. And gaming has always been, it's just a mental release from real life. It's akin to, watching one of your favorite movies. It just kind of lets you get enamored with the actual story, the characters. But it's just more interactive for me. And I just love it. It's a big part of my life. At present day, gaming is so different now. It's so social, which is really which really just creates this, fantastic culture that I love being a part of now.
No, for sure. It's really been, the original Xbox had it and PC gaming's kind of had it for a minute, but it's really like the 360 PS3 era that, the social aspects of games sort of becoming more prevalent. Now, especially now with your current generation of consoles and PC as well, like it's the social aspect of gaming has grown demonstrably. Like, that's where I hang out with most of my friends at this point. I don't, it feels bad to say still sometimes, but I don't really hang out with friends in real life. Does that make any sense?
No, I'm on a gaming podcast with you right now, so you're pretty much in the same company.
for sure. So you're playing Destiny still.
Yep, playing Destiny. Back when I was doing PC gaming, I was on I played a free MMO FPS called Combat Arms, which is done by Nexon America, which is originally a Korean company, but they have an American component now. And it was just a typical free-to-play FPS game. I was an officer and an administrator for like a 40-person clan. And we used to, clan wars and stuff like that. And it just, life happened. Actually, one of the sort of sad part of it, one of the guys in our clan when I was playing that, he actually died unexpectedly. And he was in his early 30s.
Oh, no.
And so that kind of, just made everybody kind of think a little bit. So we all kind of took a step back. Some went our separate ways, and others, we still stay in touch here and there. So that kind of gave me a step back from gaming for a little bit. It hit me pretty hard. And so then when I got back into console gaming, I picked up a 360 and PS3 and now on the PS4. And now I found this huge Destiny community called Sundowners Gaming. And they're all pretty much on PS4. There's a couple of Xbox guys, but mostly on PS4. And they were actually featured on one of the Destiny podcasts, Guardian Radio, which is probably the most prevalent podcast. And they would feature clans every week in their episodes, and kind of, their listeners wanted to check them out. And one was, and they were called Sundowners. And it was just, I'm a father. I have two young kids. I have a 7 and a 3-year-old. Science is preventing a third, thankfully. I heard what they were all about. Just a bunch of dads and moms playing games. While our time is limited to play games with the family life, we kind of cherish the times to be able to play with each other socially, and it was all about helping each other out and getting through this game. And so I kind of listened to them, and then I just I applied, and thinking about that was about a year and a half, almost 2 years ago. And so we went from like 20 people in this gaming community that I joined, and now we're upwards of 160.
Oh geez.
I think when I first contacted you, we were 130, so we grew 30 in a month. Jeez. And a half or so.
So what do you like how do you guys grow? Like that's fairly exponential. Like in a month to gain, I mean, what, close to 15% growth? Like, how do you do it?
Well, I mean, like, when I joined, I wasn't one of the original members. Like I said, there were only like 20, 25 people at the time. And so that that highlight on that podcast really brought me and several other people into the actual fold. And so it kind of overnight from there, we went from like 20 to like 40. And then a lot of it was just word of mouth, really. We just start playing together. People kind of heard what we were doing. Like right now, like I said, we have so many people. We have 18 different raid groups. So every week that's, a bunch of people, raiding. That's, 100 people raiding every week together. And that's one of the things about our little community is that we're what we call a raid first clan. So you join our community, and we use Discord, the communication app for that. You join our community, we make it our top priority to get your raid group, so you guaranteed you get to play with a bunch of people every week. And of course, we're all doing PvP and all these other parts of that game, and there's a bunch of us that play other games. We have a small following for Battlefield 1. We had a bunch of guys playing Diablo, Ghost Recon Wildlands. So, I mean, there's not just that one game. So being featured there kind of brought us up a little bit. Last November, we did a charity stream for Extra Life. So we streamed for 24 hours. Our goal was, I think, $2,000 US. We ended up raising just over $2,500. And what we did, and all the funds went to two hospitals, an American hospital and a Canadian hospital. Since at the time we were primarily a Canadian and American clan. So it went to Children's Healthcare of Atlanta, here in the U.S., and also to the Stollery Children's Hospital in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. And we just kind of reached out to the Destiny community, the different podcasts out there, and the guys from like Fireborn Radio and Dad Tales Podcast, the RNG Cast, and a few others, and some streamers just said, yeah, no, absolutely, we will absolutely take part in this, we would love to. So we, out the door, people embraced us, and were able to help us out and raise these money for kids. So that kind of put it, I don't want to say put us on the map, that sounds presumptuous, but that kind of that got our name out there a little bit. And like one of the streamers that helped us with the Extra Life stream, like a week passed after the stream, and he's like, okay, so how do I become a Sundowner? I was like, well, I guess you just did.
Right, exactly.
We also have a very, very strong relationship with the 5-1 Radio podcast, their clan on PS4, and they're actually all Brits. They're all, most of them are in Manchester, north of London over there. We help them out and help them fill their fire teams, and they do the same with us. It was all organically. It just got so big in what I would call a small amount of time, and it's been a great ride. And we have wonderful people. We're from all different walks of life. We have Brits in our clan, Americans, Canadians. We have a couple Australians that play with us every so often. So I mean, it's a real good ride, and we're actually gearing up for another charity stream next month on May the 20th. And this time we're doing it for veterans in the U.S., Canada, Great Britain, and Australia. So I mean, we're just love it. I mean, those are we're actually supporting three charities for that one. Man. One's
go big or go home, right?
Get it, son. this one's one of the organizations, the charity is called stackup.org. And they're actually a gaming charity on top of it. So they gear towards gamers. And what they do is they help veterans transition from active duty to civilian life. They donate consoles and games and whatnot. And they also donate game equipment to troops that are deployed overseas.
Yeah, it's I've actually worked with the original one. It's the same guy that started Operation Supply Drop, who started Stacked Up. And I used to do Operation Supply Drop 24-hour streams every year. That was like, I love doing it. I was just doing it by myself as I'm a veteran myself. So I care about that kind of shit, right? So that shit was always fun. So
you're probably talking about Steven Shanghai 6.
Yeah.
Yes, I mean they're a great charity. They also have like a sub clan, a sub community rather. It's called the Red Shirt Raiders. So they have like a whole nother like Discord server just for all these veterans and people that want to support Stack Up to like just play games to together every week. There's one of the guys on Xbox over there, Aggressive Jedi, I think his name is. He's full on doing Xbox One Destiny over there. I'm one of the game night leaders. I do Battlefield 1 every Monday night over there on PS4. They're just a great group of guys. And as a veteran, also, I have to support it. I love it. They're just it's a good thing to get behind.
Yeah, exactly.
The two other charities, one's called Vets Canada, which, you'll be shocked, it's a Canadian charity. And they, what they do is they help Canadian veterans that are in crisis that are either homeless or about to become homeless. And they've been very, very supportive of us and helping get the word out for a stream. And the third charity is called Health for Heroes UK. It's for British vets that are injured in combat and battling mental illness from their service. Not only myself, but there are several other vets in our community that have served their country with honor and distinction. We get a couple that are disabled from it. They serve their country, so they. When we proposed the idea of doing a veteran charity stream, everyone was behind it right away. Yeah. And with Extra Life stream last November, that was our first charity stream. So we kind of like learned our ins and outs and how to put this all together and get going with it. So for this one, we're kind of a little wiser. We kind of know what we're doing more. And so we got even more support from the Destiny and gaming community. There's a podcast. There's a Destiny podcast out of Australia. I think it's called Destiny Down Under. They're going to be helping us out with it. They're going to take a 3-hour slot. There's a couple of the lore podcasts, the Destiny Lorecast and Destiny Ghost Stories. A bunch of streamers like Hidden In here in the U.S. And, Larapocalyptic overseas. You know, a bunch of people are going to be helping out with this one as well. So, I mean, it was just, you know, they pretty much just committed that, like, oh, every year. So you guys are going to do two charity streams every year? Let's do it. You know, it's just, you know, being embraced by the community for, you know, people we just didn't even know. And, like, some we didn't hadn't talked to before. We're like, hey, we know you're a thing in the community. Do you want to help us do a charity thing? Yeah. Oh, yeah, let's do it. You know, it's just honest and open. And gaming has this effect. When you game socially, you become a lot closer with these people than you do your normal friends a lot quicker.
Yep, fact.
Gaming doesn't make people kill people.
It's true. I mean, especially nowadays, right? Like, I know some of my best friends I met, you know, playing Destiny. And granted, you know, I play almost anything that comes out under the sun. So, you know, I dip in and out, honestly. But, you know, even still, I'll hop into, you know, the party or the Discord or whatever. And, you know, we'll just sit around and shoot the shit while
for sure.
Whatever.
There have been party chats where, like, there'll be eight of us all playing different games.
Yeah.
I mean, we play together. And actually, funny, like, when I joined Sundowners, one of the guys knew I lived in Georgia. And he's like, oh, whereabouts are you? I said, oh, you know, I live outside of Atlanta. And he was like, oh, whereabouts? And he says, I live in Sugar Hill. And I was like, oh, that's where I live. And he passes his house every single day on the way home from work. He lives a half mile away from me. he's saying that we've gone out to lunch several times, and just by spreading it around, we found out there's like 9 or 10 of us in the Atlanta area. So we've done two little like Sundowner Atlanta meetups. It's good to like meet each other and just game and, you know, to have a couple drinks. So it's kind of funny. I mean, just going on about how close you get so quickly. It's, you know, it's one of the best parts of my life, honestly.
No, 100%. I mean, I used to play World of Warcraft almost religiously. And then it was after I stopped playing, and then one of my friends, like, we all were texting back and forth even after we stopped playing. Mm-hmm. And one of my buds was like, hey, you know, I'm here in Atlanta. I'm like, wait, what? He's like, yeah. He was, let's go get a drink, or, you know, I'm like, okay, let's go. it's a bit of a surreal experience, because you really, like, at the end of the day, you know these people, you know, over a fucking internet connection, over a headset, right? And actually sit down face to face with somebody, and you're drinking a beer and a glass of wine and shit like that. It's a super surreal experience. So, like, I think it's awesome that you found, you know, 9 people. I'm in the Atlanta area too, so I'm going to say in this area here. So,
right, yeah, you know, it's crazy. And like, we got like a bunch of the Canadians in our group. A bunch of them all live in the same geographic area. There's like 6 or 7 of them right there. So they get together too, and we got a big a cluster guys in upstate and New York as well, and they're doing the same thing. So it's just, you know, it's fun to really kind of expand on that community. And instead of you know, talking about games with a headset, you're doing it, you know, over a pint.
Exactly.
Which I guess, well, I mean, for me, I'm usually drinking a pint when I'm in party chat, so I guess it's kind of the same thing.
I'm drinking, but I'm doing shots in party chat. And we'll do, I mean, we'll, that's literally, we're like, hey, what are you drinking? And, you know, most of us are whiskey or bourbon drinkers, so then it becomes like a weird taste testing over a microphone. It's weirdly bizarre, but it's oddly, like, you know, it brings the group closer to, I mean, my clan's, you know, the Whiskey Six clan, there's only like 10 of us, because it's just us.
Yeah.
But, and it's, I keep trying to get the guys to, like, come this way, or, like, I'll go meet them, because we're all of the people I used to play Destiny with are just literally, they're all over the States and Canada.
Oh, yeah, gotcha, yeah.
So I have nobody here, exactly. Except for one of the other guests, Andres Gomez from the Omnic Lab podcast lives, come to find out, like, less than 5 minutes away.
Wow, that's so funny.
I'm just like, huh, okay. I think I drive by you every time I go to the movie theater, so that's weird. Or go to the grocery store.
Right.
So, yeah. It's time to take it off the good Destiny talk, because Destiny's good. I mean, I put 1,000 hours in over in that game, so, and I know you're probably trumping me way out of the water on that one.
Just so I'm not depressed, I don't want to bring it up.
Yeah, we're not going to discuss hour talk. Don't worry about that. if we talked about World of Warcraft time, like, that would be truly and utterly sad to a point. Or I might have to, like, you know, go back and rethink decisions made in life. So we're not going to go into that. You brought up Paladins.
I'm actually cutting a video for my YouTube channel right now, but
Come on,
Overwatch fanboy.
As listeners of this show know, in my other show I do, Overwatch is bae. It's Overwatch for life. I'm thinking on getting a tattoo somewhere. I just don't know where yet. Why Paladins?
Because I follow a couple of streamers and I become friends with them. They're in the UK. One's Roscoe and the other one's Lara RDX, and they just play Paladins a bunch. I was just watching their stream and just hanging out for a little bit while I was on my lunch break, and it just looked really cool. It looked really fun. I will give you a preface. I've never played Overwatch. I don't have it. I know the gist of it. The Overwatch memes are amazing. I do know what a Hanzo main is, though, and I don't know if you saw it on Twitter.
Where she called the kid a Hanzo main, and I don't know what that means, but it sounded derogatory.
He's like 9 and he's calling people Hanzo main and he gets in trouble for
That's
it.
That's so awesome.
I really hope the parents gave that kid, let him stay up an extra hour that night.
No joke. Just play. So for those listeners who don't know, Overwatch comes out and then not too long after the Paladins beta comes out, and Paladins is a game made by the developers of Smite. They're high-res mm-hmm. studios out here in Alpharetta, like probably what, an hour away?
Okay, yep.
So, and it's very similar to Overwatch, and I don't think that they aped anything from Overwatch. I think, honestly, despite what the hyperbole on the internet wants to say, like, I don't think that it's that they copied them at all, just based off dev time. It doesn't. The time wise doesn't make sense, right?
I don't think anyone ripped anything from each other.
But you have to admit that they're similar looking, right? So
very similar. I mean, just that cartoony 3D kind of look to it is very similar. The gunplay seems very similar.
The characters also seem very similar as well. You got right. Reinhardt with his big shield and hammer, and then the Paladins.
I also think that's very organic and very natural, though.
Oh yeah, I agree. I'm not saying that they're ripping it off. I'm mostly at this point making fun of the hyperbole in the Overwatch and Paladins Reddit because yes. Jesus Christ, it is terrible in there. But what drew you to
Wait a
Paladins
sec.
Other than Overwatch?
Wait a sec. Are you telling me people on the internet wrote mean things?
Oh, all the time.
Like, is that confirmed?
Newsflash, confirmed. That's not fake news. Just saying. That's real. That's real life, son. So what drew you to Paladins then? Like other than, you know, watching streamers play it and it looked fun, like what do you enjoy? What do you get out of Paladins? Sell me on this game.
I probably won't, but I'll try.
No, you won't, but you can try.
It's probably how casual it is, which I assume Overwatch is the same way, but I don't know because I haven't played it. But Paladins for me, it was just very casual. Like I don't need to be teamed up with friends to play it. I can still have a good time. And then again, you know, on the PS4, the console beta just came out a month and a half ago. But, you know, up until now, it's been 100% PC.
I'm sure it's been on Xbox as well. I've been in it.
Oh, has it? Oh, okay.
I just haven't played it.
Shocking. But no, I love how casual it is. It's very smooth. And it's just a fun and funny game. If someone wanted to do Paladins Esports, I would probably laugh at it just because I wouldn't take it that seriously. It's just a fun game to relax. I like that there aren't these monumentous achievements. It's not a looter shooter, which is great.
Yeah.
At times, much as I love Destiny and the Division and stuff like that, it's nice to just have a casual game. Like, you can just say, oh, I only got 30 minutes to play or something like that. You don't want to load into Destiny or like Mass Effect Andromeda. You can't go anywhere without talking to someone for a half hour.
It's true.
If you don't have 2 hours to play, just go to bed.
Yep, exactly. No, that's how I beat Mass Effect Andromeda, 2 hour chunks at a time.
Exactly. But no, that kind of sums up the Paladins. It's how casual, and it's just a fun experience for me.
So, it's funny, because, like, do you consider Destiny more hardcore, then?
I don't know if I'd phrase it like that. I would say, if you want to get to endgame stuff and get everything done, that Destiny is more time-consuming.
Yeah, maybe hardcore is not the right word, but it's not as casual.
Right.
So yeah, it's more of a time sink or time investment.
I guess for me, Destiny is kind of like what you make it. If you just want to go in and, you know, play the Crucible, play some PvP, you can do that all day long. If you just want to go in, do a couple strikes or something like that, you can totally do that. And, like, you don't have to play Destiny with other people, like in your party chat or anything like that. You can enjoy the whole story by yourself and enjoy it. I believe, as 90% of the Destiny community does, that it is a social game.
I was going to question you on this.
It's enjoyed exponentially better with other people. But no, I mean, like, so I mean, to answer your question, you know, games like Destiny and some of these other more involved games are more time consuming. There's more to do in them. Paladins is just a conduit to, you know, spend 20 or 30 minutes just having a little bit of fun.
See, that's, you know, funny. I play Overwatch completely differently.
Yeah, I mean, well, from what I understand is, like, when you play Overwatch, you're playing up against other people, like, you gotta have, like, a solid, it's, you, if you don't have a team of other people with you, you're not gonna enjoy it as much.
I would disagree. I have a group of people I play with. I'm in a Discord of, like, 500 people that I can pull from at any time, and I do on occasion. Like, I find that fun. Although, even still, like, for me personally, like, if I'm solo queuing in ranked, like, it's fucking pedal to the metal. Like, I'm not, like, my fingerprints gripped into my Elite controller or, like, on my mouse because I'm clenching so hard because I'm trying to make that perfect kill, right? And then I end up getting really, really inebriated and then realize I have to go to bed because I have to be up in about 4 hours. So that part never ends well. And then I can't go to bed because I'm completely jacked on just sheer adrenaline of playing in competitive mode. Whereas Destiny, I totally, like, if I'm playing, I'm normally trying to play with a friend, and I'll pop in and then realize that I'm tired of this game until Destiny 2 and then pop back out again. And now I know I've pissed off, like, everybody in your clan, and I'm sorry, but, like, I just kind of fell out of Destiny. Like, crash and burned out of Destiny, honestly.
Oh, no. Well, I mean, Bungie kind of, they kind of created this drought where they were going to make Destiny 2, like, come right after Taken King, I believe. And then Rise of Iron was, like, this afterthought to kind of enable them to wait longer for this.
It was bizarre.
It was very bizarre. And they had the live team actually do all of Rise of Iron because I guess everyone else was devoted to Destiny 2.
Yeah.
But no, I went through a good phase of, like, 3 or 4 months where I just didn't really want to play it. Yeah, I was playing other things. I mean, plus, like earlier this year, like Mass Effect Andromeda came out, the first Battlefield 1 DLC came out, Ghost Recon Wildlands came out. There was a Division update that came out as well. So all these other games are like pulling me away all at once. So no, I totally hear that. I mean, I play Destiny at least once a week. I raid with my raid group every Wednesday night. Just trying to make Crota, Fiona works, and access my bitch.
Yeah. I get that. Trust me, I get that. The raids are the best part of that damn game. And now that like I feel underleveled, I sat there for probably about like 8 hours trying to grind basically light, so that way, you know, I wouldn't feel so underleveled going into the raid, and I've still like felt underleveled for that damn raid. I'm just like, I'm fucking done. I'm gonna go play Rocket League or something. Like, I think at this point, I probably won't pick up Destiny again until D2.
Yeah, I mean, and there's a lot of people like that. I mean, they're you know, there's a an amount of people in like our Sundarner's clan that decided that they don't want to get too burnt out on it, so they don't play Destiny 2 when it comes out. So they're playing other stuff, and it's totally cool, you know.
Well, it's the perfect time to, too. This first quarter has been, especially on PlayStation, has been just fucking bananas with good games. And this isn't the first time I've said this, but Jesus, like, there's, like, I say especially on PlayStation because there's way more exclusives on PlayStation just in this first quarter alone than I think Sony's had the entire lifespan of the console. It's been like I said before, as somebody who tries to at least, you know, play through everything, I'm just like, I'm not rich enough to do this. There's too many damn games coming out. There's three more that came out this last week that I'm looking to get, and I'm just like, I can't even justify it because I'm still playing Persona, I'm still playing Ghost Recon, I'm still playing Overwatch, that's never gonna stop, I'm still playing Horizon Zero Dawn. I'm just like, oh my god, I can't do this right now.
It's, dude, it's like too many good games at once. I just, oh, it's tough.
It's really tough, especially because Persona is so damn good, and that game is 100 hours. So
yeah, that's what one of our guys was telling me, is that I gotta go get Persona 5. There's so much to do.
Yeah, and as
well, Horizon Zero Dawn's like that a lot too, isn't it?
Yeah, it's also an open world, and it's also long, and I'm just like, I can't do this right now.
And speaking of games like Horizon Zero Dawn, that is not a social game, as 100% single player. Games like that are refreshing for someone who's a big social gamer. It's refreshing to play games like solely for yourself. I mean, you can still like share the experiences, you know, with other people that play it and talking about it. You're like, oh, where did you get that? Oh, I had to go here, but you got to go there first, stuff like that. So, I mean, like, being able to just play a game by yourself and, like, enjoy that experience without having to depend on others in the actual game is such a breath of fresh air sometimes.
I agree. And then on that same token, then I feel bad because I feel like I'm neglecting the people that I normally hang out with, and I'm neglecting the game that I have been playing religiously for a year.
Right.
Like, Overwatch, there's an event going on right now, and I'm like, I don't, I want to play you, but I don't want to play you, because I want to play Persona. Right. But it's hard, man, especially, like you, I have a wife, I have two kids, I have two dogs, I have a full-time job, I work from 4 to 1, 4 a.m. to 1 p.m. every day, and then I hang out with the kids, and the wife comes home, and you know, my days are packed. There's only so much time that I need before I have to go to sleep. I can't do it all.
Right?
It's a struggle, man. It's a struggle. So you mentioned you have two kids, 7 and 3, I believe, right?
Yep. So a girl and a boy. And my oldest is really into Star Wars Battlefront. And I told her they're making another, that DICE is making another one. She's very excited. She was less excited when I told her that there's only one side of the campaign, but then when I told her that it was the Empire, she goes, "The bad guys? I get to be the bad guys?
Yeah,
I'm so excited!" And I was like, "Whoa!"
I'm actually really excited about that. The more I didn't play Battlefront 1 very much at all. But the idea of the writer of Spec Ops: The Line is writing this campaign makes me truly fucking excited for this campaign.
Because
Spec Ops was probably one of my favorite games of the last generation. And the idea of potentially having another story like that is really exciting, especially in the Star Wars universe.
Oh yeah, I mean, well, DICE does a really good job at multiplayer. I know I'm a little bit of a Battlefield fanboy, but like Star Wars Battlefront, the UI is just really smooth, and the gunplay is very smooth, especially for a Star Wars shooter. So I mean, I think I know I'm really excited. I'll probably pre-order it. Who knows?
Yeah. I try to avoid pre-orders until I know more. I pre-ordered Persona because I knew I was going to get Persona 4 is probably in my top 3 games of all time. So like,
wow.
Persona 5 was a no-brainer. Like, I knew I was going to get it. But generally, like, anymore, I try to avoid pre-order hype and pre-order culture because, like, I've been burned a few times on that, and I'm just like, eh. Like,
yeah, I am. If I know 100% that it's a game coming up that I know I'm going to get, no matter what, and if I can just pre-order it and I'm going to get a couple extra, you know, freebies on top of it with it, I'll pre-order it. You know, but if there's nothing, if there's nothing enticing me, or if I'm not sure about it yet, I hold off.
I also try to I say that, and I feel like I do pre-order more than I actually like want to. But it's mostly just to, like, stagger out purchases, right? So you'll have months like these last two where there's just games coming out constantly.
Right.
And so, like, I had pre-ordered Mass Effect because I knew I was going to get it. And that way, when the time of that release comes out, I can use that $60 and buy, like, Horizon Zero Dawn. I know it didn't come out at the same time, but
right?
So it's an easier way to spread my funds that I have for this hobby, you know, a little bit longer
and be able
to play more stuff. And it's easier to sell to the wife.
Oh.
And I know she listens, so, you know, but she knows. She knows why. I hope. If not, hi.
What's up, Mrs. Benton?
Right. So you're a dad. So how do you like juggle your time playing games?
Well, like I said, my oldest, my daughter Caroline, she likes playing Star Wars Battlefront. So we actually just play the main PvP stuff, and we just like take turns with the controller, and you know, we kind of restrict it for her, like on, you know, Saturdays and Sundays only, or like on Friday nights when she's not dealing with it, like going to school. It's like parenting 101.
Yeah.
You know, and so for me, I tend to only play later on in the evening, usually around the time or right after my wife goes to bed, because I try not to let that infringe on the time with my wife and my two kids. So, you know, it's definitely, you know, a part of my life. But I try to make sure it doesn't infringe on family, because family always comes first.
Exactly.
You know, my daughter does like playing some of the older games on 360, like the she horrible father. I let her play Saints Row.
Oh, that's not bad.
Saints Row the Third. Well, I make sure a certain melee weapon isn't equipped.
Yeah, I mean, a 7-year-old beating people with giant purple dildos. Who's judging?
Just everyone who doesn't play games. she plays that, and the DC Mortal Kombat style fighting game. Oh God, what's the name of it?
Injustice.
You know, yeah, Injustice: Gods Among Us, which they're coming out with a sequel this year in May, I think. So we play that here and there, and you know, we kind of restrict it here and there. My 3-year-old son, he thinks the controller is really cool. So what I usually do is, if the wife's out doing errands and my 7-year-old's doing something else, I hand him an Xbox 360 controller and I play PS4. So he thinks he's playing. It's fantastic.
That's smart. I used to do that with my daughter. She's 4 now. she's smarter. She at about three, she started realizing that the controller isn't doing anything.
And she would, children's brains.
She would get really mad at me. I actually was asked this in my last episode. At the time we're recording this, right? How have you introduced your kids to games? I'm like, oh shit, I never actually thought about that. I have an 11-year-old son, and he's got his own 360, and he can only play on the weekends. And I kind of generally try to steer him, but he's more into YouTube culture, so he's gonna listen to them more than me, and I get that. So, but like he played, man, I'm really showing Father of the Year status here. I showed him BioShock, and he was into that. which that's, I mean, yeah, meh. There's no purple dildos, but there's some other sadistic shit in that game that's, we'll figure that out. We'll figure that out together. But generally, like, it used to be the Minecraft thing, and now it's like Roblox or whatever. So he kind of feels his own way at this point. Like I said, I generally try to steer him towards and away from things, but at the end of the day, I let him make his own decisions.
Right.
My daughter, who's now four, is now like super, we actually bought a Wii U for this because now she's like super into like Mario and Yoshi and Donkey Kong, and I still owe her a Bowser toy, and she's actually getting really good at this shit. Like, it's kind of creepy to a point. Like, I remember when I can hand her a controller and it didn't do anything, and now she's like actually beating levels by herself where I don't have to help her. It's a bit of a surreal experience to see like that growing up, and now she's watching me play Persona 5, which at times I question as well, but I mean, I don't think she fully grasps what's going on sometimes, because she yelled at me the other day too, because occasionally, like, if you're talking with your friends and you're developing what they call social links, like, it's just text at the bottom and like, huh? And oh, and shit like that. Like, the emote voices, but then you have to read the text. She looked at me. She goes, "Daddy, you tell me what they're saying right now."
Oh my god! Like,
holy shit! I think it's bedtime.
Yeah, my daughter was playing Star Wars Battlefront. We were playing on a Sunday, a few months ago, and one of the guys in our clan invited me to a party chat, because I usually turn off like all the little notifications on PS4 when she's playing, so it doesn't bug her. And it was one of the guys I'm close to, my friend Clint, Raging Cajun 85. He just chimed in. He's like, "Oh, let's play some Battlefront. I'll join you." I was like, "Okay." So my daughter played with him, and he's like, "Caroline, what are you doing?" And she said, "Pub stomping."
Okay, that's pretty great. My daughter's ripped the headset off me at points too, and decided that she's gonna. I have to yell as the headset's going away. I was like, "She's taking it," and so they know, like,
they know.
Keep it at least PG. Don't.
Right. Yeah.
Our chats can devolve into some weird sadistic shit sometimes. So just tone it down. And she'll talk, and she'll say hi, and she'll say my daddy's a dummy, and I'm just like, it's time for you to go away now. Like, you were in bed 2 hours ago. Why are you out? I thought you were asleep. Like, that's the only reason why I'm playing right now. So you gotta go away.
Totally.
And needless to say, your gaming habits change once you're a parent, right?
Oh, absolutely.
I can't, or even married, period. I can't, sit around.
Happy wife, happy life, buddy.
Exactly. I can't say, what, you're telling me I can't sit around all day in my underwear while eating Cheetos and not moving while playing a new game on a Tuesday when I'm supposed to be at work? What? I have to provide? I wouldn't trade it for anything. Trust me.
Oh, totally. Yeah, I've done it a couple times where I just take like an emotional health day from work. I just take the entire day off and I stay home and play video games.
I need an emotional health day. It's been stressful, man. I need a day to just sit around and play games. My job's I'm not getting into that. It's not about games, but
negative. Negative.
Although I do want to switch just so I can play games at work sometimes. I'm not gonna lie. I gotta go to do the bathroom thing.
Right. So Nintendo Switch, how do you feel about it?
I think that it's obviously it's doing better than I thought it would.
Right.
It's a lot. There's a lot there. I want one.
No, yeah, for sure. I like the idea. Everyone, even Polygon gave Zelda a 10. Polygon never gives anyone a 10.
Yeah, I mean, I played Zelda on Wii U. That game is definitely worth a 10. I had to stop because I want to play it on Switch because I feel that game is almost made for a handheld.
Right.
Because you can literally like turn it on and go do a shrine and then realize you have to get back to work and turn it back off.
Right.
So it's hard for me to commit, you know, sitting down on the Wii U, which I hate that fucking gamepad. it makes me mad just thinking about it. But, you know, to commit like a night to play that. So that's the main reason why I do want to switch. I think that the portability aspect is really fucking cool as well. And you're actually having console games unlike the Vita, which I also love, my PlayStation Vita.
Right.
But it didn't really deliver on, you know, console game quality. It was mostly like mostly a JRPG machine for me.
Right.
It was a way to get my anime best boy, best girl games going on. So, I mean, which is still great. Don't get me wrong. And go play Persona 4 Golden if you have a Vita, because that game is fucking great. I feel like I keep talking about it, but I actually convinced the wife that I gotta go pick it back up, but she's gonna play Persona 4 on the Vita. I'm really excited about that.
Oh, wow.
She used to make fun of me.
When my wife and I were dating before we had kids and everything, and you know, before we had decent jobs, like we had this apartment, and literally our only furniture was like two chairs. It's like a Lazy Boy recliner and like an office chair. And we had a TV that sat on the floor and my PS2, and she would sit there and play The Sims all day long. Just over and over. She'd get this like trophy husband and didn't want to deal with him, so she like built a wall around him and just like suffocated and died in the kitchen.
I think everybody who played The Sims did that. I'm pretty sure.
Right. But no, I mean it is, you know, as a male gamer, like if you're married or dating someone who isn't into gaming, like you got to be like very methodical and about like trying to like kind of get them to think that gaming might be a thing that they might want to try it out.
I wish I had that tactic. My wife, I can't say that. My wife is sort of into games. You know, she used to play Genesis and shit back in the day. She even played World of Warcraft with me when we were. I was living in Arkansas and she was down in Florida, and so we would play together. I'm actually planning on having her on the show to talk about this, so, you know.
Oh, cool.
But we used to play WoW together, and it was a way to, like, connect and, you know, stay in touch and shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
And, I don't know, she's always had, like, a passing interest, but, like, never, like, Hearthstone is her game. That's what she plays. That's what she plays all the time. That's what the iPad's for. It is a Hearthstone machine and a recipe machine. But I actually got her to play Firewatch
by Campo Santa. Oh, cool, yeah. I've seen videos about it, but I haven't played it. It looks very very relaxing.
It's very story-heavy, too, and that's what concerned me, because like generally it's like games like Mario and Donkey Kong and shit like that she gravitates to more, like a platformer without much, you know, of a narrative going on behind it.
Mm-hmm.
So to put her in a first-person game, fully narrative driven. I mean, there's no anything else really. That game is only narrative and picking what you're going to say to somebody. And she came out and she dug it and like she started it again. And I'm like, what the hell? Like,
well, I mean, if she's such a casual gamer, I mean, she might want to check out Paladins. Just saying.
No. No. We're an Overwatch family. Get that shit out of here. even Sammy, my 4-year-old, likes Overwatch. She goes into the practice range and plays as Winston and beats up all the robots. So, She plays as Monkey Winston, and he beats the robots with his electric gun. That's what she says to me. And I'm like, all right, right. You're good. You got this. And so Persona 5 came out, and I talk about Persona constantly because I've played Persona 4 a multitude of times, and I listened to the soundtrack, and I was really excited for Persona 5 to come out. She goes, you know what? I want to see this game. I'm like, okay. What? Like, this is like the weird anime bullshit where you fight, like, giant green dongs riding chariots to represent sexuality in males and shit like that. You're like, and it's like super anime. Like, I'm just like, huh. This can go one of two ways. She'll either think it's, like, really cool, or she'll completely judge me and want to not talk to me about this shit ever again. So I'm like, okay, fuck. Well, she asks, so I'll show her, and then that's when she's like, huh. I don't fully understand what's happening, but, like, I can't stop looking away, and I can't stop watching. And then, like, I catch her humming the song sometimes from, like, the main title screen. I'm like, huh. I'm like, you should play Persona 4. She goes, okay. I'm like, yes! I won! It's the small victories. The small victories are all that count.
Right.
Sorry, tangent.
You're fine.
Well, it actually is looking like time is running short. I still have stuff I have to do today. So, Alex, you've been... holy shit, it's been an hour, and it only feels like 15 minutes, and I haven't had to go back to my notes once, so that means it's a good interview, right?
Oh, for sure, dude. when you make notes and you don't need to follow them, it's usually a good time.
Exactly, exactly. Where can people find you at?
They can find me. I stream. I'm not a pro streamer, but I stream a couple days a week. I always stream Battlefield 1 on Mondays and usually something else throughout the week. At twitch.tv/SentinelDad. They can find me on Twitter. I'm really active on Twitter. That's probably the best way to get a hold of me. It's at SentinelDad with an extra D on the end. You can also catch... I have a YouTube as well. You just go to YouTube and just search Sentinel Dad, and, you know, I throw a video up every, you know, a couple weeks or so. I'm actually rendering a video for Paladins right now, just saying. our clan is Sundowners Gaming. If you're on PS4 and you play Destiny and want a cool group of guys and gals to play with, we're very inviting. You can find us at sundownersgaming.com, or we have a Twitter as well. It's just at Sundowners Gaming. I'm sorry, the Twitter is at Sundowner Gaming because the extra S was too much for Twitter. And we will be doing our charity stream on May the 20th for 24 hours for veterans. Just hit up our Twitch at twitch.tv/SundownersGaming. And if you want to get involved with us, let us know. And so that's pretty much it. It's where you can find me. If you want someone to game with on PlayStation, just hit my gamer tag, just SentinelDad.
I'm hitting you up. If you guys want some help streaming for the charity, I will be more than happy to help. Because that sounds really cool. And I would love to be involved.
Sure.
And... yeah, that's I lost my train of thought there somehow. I don't know. Shit, this is the part I'm worst at because I hate talking about myself sometimes. Okay. You can follow me at Twitter at NadNerb. That's NadNerb. You can follow the show at Why We Play Show, both on Twitter. If you want to be on the show, you can either tweet at me or email the show at whyweplayshow@gmail.com. I promise I will get back to you. Scheduling may be a nightmare. I apologize in advance. I lead a very chaotic and busy yet fulfilling life. So, you know, I try to accommodate the best I can. However, you know, I'm also a human. Sorry. I can't be perfect. I actually have been streaming on Beam and Twitch. Beam is beam.pro at nadnerb64. And then Twitch is at twitch.tv/nadnerb64 as well. Mostly it's Overwatch. If it's not Overwatch, I'll normally try to tweet it out. It's probably coming up here in the next couple days going to be Outlast 2 and Little Nightmares, because I love horror games. And yeah, that's about it. Alex, you've been fan-fucking-tastic.
For sure, dude. It was a lot of fun. Really appreciate it.
No, well, me and you are gonna
beers in Atlanta, buddy.
Trust me,
beers in Atlanta.
Yeah, no, for real. Hit me up. We will definitely do this.
Absolutely.
And that's it for this episode of Why We Play. Thanks everybody for tuning in. Be good and keep playing games, and let's have a conversation.